But during this time of year, we try to and we strive to emphasize the birth of Christ and the Christ child in Bethlehem. But sometimes I think that our attempts to keep Christ in Christmas is rather superficial. That we really do not hearken to the reality of what God has really done for us. We're more worried about whether the person we've gotten the right gift for was the right gift. Will they like it or not? What did I do with that receipt so they can return it if it doesn't fit? All those things seem to muddy up and confuse the purpose of the incarnation of Christ. We sing about the Virgin Mary, the angels, a mysterious star, and wise men from the east. We stand in awe of angelic proclamation, and yet do we hear what they say? Do we comprehend in the midst of the busyness of baking and wrapping and unwrapping and trips to the dump, bringing home more than we brought with us? Do we hear? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I believe it's fitting for us to comprehend, to explore together this evening, this Christmas Eve, as we're about to embark upon a celebration of the birth of Christ. Are we really hearing the fact that a Savior has been born and that He has a name? Jesus Christ the Lord. What does it mean that Christ is Lord? What does it mean that He was a Savior? Did they need a Savior? Did the people that were receiving this news on that lowly, quiet evening when the angels appeared to these shepherds, did they need to hear this good news of great joy? That would be for all the people that a Savior has been born. Did they need that? I believe they did. I believe they did because the nation in which they lived was enduring a very destructive and powerful political tyranny. That Rome was pressing its thumb down upon these people and persecuting them and taking advantage of them. And insecurity economically was the rule of the day. And the nation was burdened with a host of religious traditionalism and cold formalism. Did they need a Savior? Yes. Did they long for one? Did they hope for one? Yes. But their hope for a Savior was focused primarily upon that political tyranny instead of the real reason why the Savior, Christ the Lord, came. It's so that they could be free from the curse of sin, free from its burden, free to worship the one true God in the fullness of their hearts, without the burden, without the weight of sin in their lives. The whole world then, as well as now, stands in need of salvation from sin. And so we celebrate the birth of a Savior because we need that Savior even today. We need to have a saving relationship with the one true God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because if we don't have that, we don't have peace. If we don't have that, we do not have the freedom from sin. And when we don't have that, we do not have eternal life. A Savior is needed. But who is this child born, this son given? Who is this one that is described here as born in the city of David? He is Christ. Christ, the anointed one. The Christ child is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one by God to be our Savior. The Christ child was the fulfillment of the prophetic dreams and announcements proclaimed that night and anticipated, as we've looked over the last several weeks in several passages from Isaiah, where it's proclaimed clearly that this child would be born and born of a virgin. And Micah tells us specifically the town that he would be born in. And we see that his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. This child born is the Son given. The Christ child was the Son of God in human flesh. He was the God-man. He was the eternal God clothed in the flesh of a baby. A gentle, quiet baby. Which in the depths of our hearts and in the thoughts of our minds, we say, oh, what a quaint picture. What a powerful demonstration of the simplicity of the salvation that God offers to us. That in the innocence of this little child, through faith in him, that we have life and life eternal. But yet we also need to contrast that beautiful, lovely picture with the fact that one day he would lay down his life on a cross. So that the burden of sin would be paid for. So that the brutality of our ignorance and disobedience against God could be transformed. The child born is a son given who is a Savior. But he is not only Christ the Anointed One, but he is Christ the Lord. What is the nature of Christ's Lordship? Who is he? What is he all about? Why is it important for us to understand that it's not just a Savior, but he's Christ the Anointed One, and that he is Lord as well? I believe it's because he wants to be Lord of your heart and Lord of your life. He wants to be the boss. He wants to be the one in charge. But who is up against him on a continual basis, day in and day out? We are, aren't we? We like being in charge. We like to be the one saying which way to go and what to do and how to do it. And what Christ wants us to do is to surrender to him. Surrender our hearts to him in such a way that he is Lord of every component of our lives. The absolute lordship of God is emphasized throughout the Old Testament. He is to have first priority. It belongs to him and him alone. There is to be no other gods before him. And when people gave God first place, life was meaningful. Life was full. Life was abundant when we give him first place. And we wonder why sometimes life doesn't go the way we want. And the first question I ask myself when things aren't going the way I think they should be going, I ask that hard question of myself, who is Lord right now? Who's the one in charge? Who's the one guiding my life? And more often than not, I would say 100% of the time, when life is falling apart, it's because I've taken charge of my life. And I haven't surrendered and let God lead and direct. Because that grace he's extended to us in salvation is not only a grace that saves us, but it's a grace that continually sustains us in our relationship with him. He guides the way. He directs our paths. The lordship of Christ was declared by that mysterious star that announced his birth. That star of significance, that star of perfect timing, that star that displayed God's sovereignty over the creative order. Christ's lordship over the angels is revealed by the anthem of Annunciation, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Christ is Lord even over nature. As we see throughout the Gospels, the winds and the sea obey his commands. He's Lord over disease and death. Death and disease flee from him like frightened dogs. Christ is Lord over sin, Satan, death, and the grave. He lived a life of perfect purity on earth. He overcame every temptation of Satan and conquered death and the grave. That Lord is the Lord that's announced here. That unto you today, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. But that Lord is also a Lord of love. Because Christ left heaven and came to earth as a human to give his life as a sacrifice for our sin, God appointed him to be Lord over everything and everyone. Now, you may not believe it right now, but there is going to be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether they know him or not, it will happen. The Scripture promises it. That Lord of love, that Lord who emptied himself and became human so that he could pay our penalty, is motivated by that love so that we could have life in him. Because of what Christ did and because of what he can do in your life, you should make him Lord of your life. Have we done that? Have we trusted him as Lord for our salvation? Have we confessed him as Lord for the assurance of our salvation? Have we embraced him, not just as this cute little baby, seemingly doing our religious duty at church on Sunday each week and saying, oh, this is a good thing because I've got, my life is good and it's right with God right now and I can live my life the way I want it between Sunday and then get right with God again on Sunday. No, that's not what he wants. He wants us to see him as Lord, to serve him as Lord, to adore him as Lord, to embrace him as Lord. For he's the Savior of the world, Christ the Lord. The basic sin of us all is the rejection of the Lordship of God. You remember back in the garden when God came and Adam and Eve hid? The first thing Adam did was blame God. And we've been blaming him since. Christ has come to free us from the blame game so that we can embrace the Lordship of God. People foolishly believe that they can find their highest and deepest happiness in ways other than the ways of God. Only if we are willing to make Jesus the Lord of our lives will we find him to be the answer to the happiness we seek. Him to be the Prince of Peace who brings the joy of salvation into our hearts. For Christ to be Prince of Peace, a coronation service must take place. He must be king of your heart, of your life. Now, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? That's a hard thing to recognize. Because I can stand here before you and go on for another hour or two about this whole subject. I'll have a drink of water and continue going. But the reality is this. Jesus has come as a Savior, as Christ, the Messiah, as Lord, not only of all creation, but of your heart as well. And he wants to enter in and be Lord, to sit on the throne of your heart in such a way that you recognize and acknowledge him as your Savior, as your Christ, as your Lord, as your coming King. Let us pray. Father, we are so pleased to be in this place together tonight. So thankful for the joy that is ours in Christ, to know that he has come as our Savior, as our Christ, as our Lord. That he has come some 2,000 years ago in the fullness of time, in the perfect blessing of your redemptive plan, so that we could hear the good news, so that we could come to saving faith in Christ. I pray, Father, that this Christmas, that hearts bowed before your presence right now would be turned to you, that you would draw them to yourself, and they would be able to be filled with life and life eternal because they have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We rejoice in you, Father, and give you thanks for the gift of life you've given us through your Son, Jesus. But Lord, you also want us to not only embrace him as our Savior, but to live our lives in response to his Lordship, to follow after him, to not just believe about him, but to live our lives in such a way that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our very hearts. Help us to follow after him. Help us to be faithful unto him. Help us to live out the fullness of the commands we have been taught from your word about life in Jesus Christ. For we pray in his precious name. Amen. Tonight we have lit the final candle of our Advent wreath. This final candle represents the light of life, the Lord Jesus himself. He came into this world to dispel, to drive away, to extinguish, to put out darkness, to have the power of his presence living in our hearts and lives in such a way that the world would see Jesus in us in all that we do and all that we say. It's my pleasure and privilege to share with you the symbol of that light and to wish you a very Merry Christmas. As I share this light with you, would you please join in singing our closing hymn, Silent Night?